I'd like to invite you to turn with me again to Matthew. We're going to look at our verse today from this wonderful, wonderful section. We start out in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted." And today we're looking at, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Try meekness. You know, again, I'd like to offer that our culture defines meekness in a way that is not true to the Scriptures. We think of meekness often as milquetoastness, if you will. We think of meekness as weakness. We think of meekness as something less than. And as we look at this today, I have a definition up here, I think, of meekness. And it is, meekness is that humbly patient person while under provocation. Humbly patient while under provocation. That simply means, as I understand it, we don't retaliate. Even though we have the opportunity to lash back at someone, it takes more power to withhold that lashing back than it does to lash back. As I've mentioned maybe ad nauseum, I've played sports most of my life, and I will tell you, as a guy who played a little basketball, that the guy who is the who returns the favor on the court is the one that gets called. The initial provoker doesn't get caught as often as you think. Having been on both of those sides, you know, the guy who gets a technical foul on him or her is the one who responds to the initial push or shove or whatever, right? Meekness is that internal ability, of course, with God's help. We're looking, interestingly enough, as we look at the Beatitudes, Jesus teaches us how we ought to live, right? And Paul tells us how to live. And they're in perfect sync with the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So Paul basically says, I think what Paul is saying is, you and I have no chance to live out the kingdom life in this life apart from the enabling of the Spirit of God who lives in us. Does that make sense? So Jesus is saying how we should live, and Paul teaches us how to do that. Jesus gives us the menu for life, and Paul tells us how we can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. So meekness is not the same as weakness. I don't know if you heard the story. There was a great big burly truck driver. I think maybe Gibbs heard this story. If not, Gibb, you can use it in one of your sermons, because this is good. There was this big burly truck driver that was in a diner, and he was sitting there by himself minding his own business when a biker gang came in. And one of the biker guys came up and took his mashed potatoes and slammed it in the face of the trucker. And took his iced tea and poured it on his head. And took his green peas and squeezed them all over the guy. The trucker very gently got up and walked over, paid his bill, and left. And the biker dude said, "Boy, he's not much of a man, is he?" And the head waitress said, "He's not much of a truck driver either, because he just ran over 15 Harley Davidsons." You can use that one. Now, let me offer for you just a moment, if I might. That's not meekness either. That's passive-aggressive behavior. And there is a difference. The difference in what I'm describing is passive-aggressive behavior, and meekness is choice. Passive-aggressive behavior is mostly done outside of our awareness. Choice separates that out. Meekness is when that person approaches you and lets you hold it verbally, and you don't give it back. That's meekness. Often we don't face, and at some point we may face it physically, but often in our culture it's not the physical threat that makes a lot of difference to us, is it? How many of us have ever stood there and taken it? How many of us have ever had that tongue lashing? Any of you taught school before? You've been there. Any of you in real estate? You've been there. Some in law enforcement? You've been there, right? Lawyers? You've been there. Doctors? You've been there. Where people just unload and boom. And I got to tell you, my initial reaction is not always pleasing to God. I mean, my initial reaction often is to retaliate. I had a situation one time, my early years as a first-time pastor, if you please, or a small church, and I had I was going out to make a visit. There was a young couple that had just had twins, and I was so excited to go visit this couple. And as I pulled into the driveway, her dad greeted me in the front yard, and he let me hold it. He was, I don't know what all I had done to him, but buddy, he unloaded on me. He didn't like the version of the Bible I preached from. He got all the way down to him not liking the ties I wore. I mean, it was really ugly. Well, when he finished, the street light had come on. I mean, it was 45 minutes of hearing this. I reached in my pocket and I flipped him a quarter and said, "There's a payphone over there. Now go call somebody who cares." That was not meekness by any means. My instincts are often wrong. Anybody else like that? Your immediate reaction seems to be a little off. My immediate reactions are not always, but sometimes not real pleasing to God. Well, first of all, I mentioned that meekness is not the same as weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Well, when do I need to control my reactions? I just have a handful of practical pointers for us today, if I might. Well, when someone serves us, we should be understanding. Don't just think about your own affairs, Paul says, but the interest in others as well and what they are doing. Your attitude should be the same as Christ. In other words, we have to learn as followers of our Lord that we need to be understanding to the people who are serving us, who are helping us along the way. I was aghast. I know none of you have ever done this, but I was aghast at one time when one of my most prominent church members went into a restaurant and absolutely belittled and unloaded on a server. Just amazing to me. We have to make allowances for people based upon expectations and be understanding as opposed. I will tell you that Nicole tends to call home and talk to her mother when she needs to unload. And because her dad hasn't learned yet to not offer solutions. Guys, are you with me on that? It is so in our nature, I think, to offer solutions. And I'm telling you, I don't know if you read the story about the survey that nine out of ten men say their wives are always right. And the tenth guy they can't find. But I have had to learn to be a listener. And sometimes the way I've had to do that with Nicole is say, "Now, are you unloading or do you want answers?" And 9 times out of 10, what does she say? "Just listen." Okay? Offering answers, by the way, this is one of the things I don't get. Offering answers when people aren't asking questions or when you're not invited to give answers is a put-down. The psychological message is you can't figure it out. The social message is I'm trying to be helpful. Okay, is that true? For me, it is. Having said that, there are other things that I want us to point out today. First of all, when someone serves us, be understanding. Secondly, when we are disappointed, be gentle. Accept those who are weak in the faith without passing judgment on disputable matters. Now, one of the things that happened We sang this song, there's no other God beside God. In Corinthians, in Corinth, there was a really big issue going on in that church. And the issue was whether you were sinning if you went to the discount food store and ate meat that previously had been offered to a pagan god. You with me on that setting? And it was a big dispute in the Corinthian church. It was a problem. People didn't understand how to deal with that problem. And so Paul said two things that are pretty amazing. He said, first of all, for conscience' sake, don't ask any questions. Okay? You're better off not knowing. And that'd be like me going out to one of your homes, and you invited us out for a cookout, and I walk in the Corinthian way, and I say, where'd you buy this meat? You just wouldn't do that, right? And then the second thing Paul said, which is equally amazing to me, that he would say it this way, not that it's not true, but that he would say it. He said, what difference does it make if you eat meat that's been offered to a pagan god, because there are no other gods anyway? You follow me on that? So if you get the deal on the prime rib and you're paying a fraction of what the cost is, don't ask any questions. And secondly, what difference does it make? There are no other gods. I like that. And then he says, he teaches us not to violate our conscience, and he teaches us not to do things that would cause our weaker brother to stumble. In other words, our lives are not our own. We need to keep in mind those people around us. If you have liberty in certain areas of your Christian experience, don't assume everybody around you does. Know who you're with. And be understanding, and also make allowances. It's important for us to do that. And there are some basic tenets involved in that. I have friends that have no trouble. They're wonderful Christians, have no trouble drinking what we call an adult beverage. But I also know that these same friends, when I'm in their presence, they want to know if it's going to cause me to stumble. And I think that's very polite. You follow me on that? Now, having said that, when disappointed, be gentle. When we move down, and point C is when we disagree, don't be disagreeable. Now, that's interesting too, isn't it? For some of us, it can easily morph into winning. I want to be right. Is that fair? And it's important that we allow others that we sense are wrong, allow them that freedom to be wrong. We don't have to just twist arms and have everybody agree with us. I think it's an important lesson in life to disagree without being disagreeable. Now, what's unfortunate in our culture today, this is my opinion, so mark that as with an asterisk, John's opinion, is that we have cut off the dialogue. The very minute you call somebody a racist or a sexist, the conversation ceases. Is that true? Conversation's over. There are certain words out there in our culture that if you use them, the conversation stops. And there's no dialogue. And I think that's a real problem in our culture today. Next, if you will, when corrected, be teachable. And let me say this about, if I might, about parenting. Please remember that values are not taught, they are caught. Now, let me give an illustration of that. My dad was 5'8 on a good day. And my mother was 5'8. Now, that was tall. 5'8 was tall for my mother's era. And if you go back and go to a museum and look at World War I veterans, you'll see that 5'8 was tall for a man back in that day, okay? I remember years ago, I went to church with my mother, took a day off, and I grew up being told that I looked like the milkman. I was tall like the milkman, because I'm the tallest one in our family by far. Now, my mother's family was all very tall. My granddaddy was tall. So I went to church with my mother, and there was the milkman, 6'8". And she introduced me. She said, "Johnny, I want you to meet the milkman." And I went, "Daddy, it's so glad to finally meet you." And my poor mother was mortified. All the way through church, we'd make eye contact, and she'd just start laughing. You know, it was over when I said we should have just gone home. But it's important for us to understand that we are to be teachable. All of us have lessons in life to share with others, and all of us have lessons to learn. James 1 says, "Let everyone be quick to listen, and slow to use their tongue, and slow to lose their temper. And lastly, when hurt, be yourself. Do not repay evil for evil. Overcome evil with good." And I would offer that anything other than being yourself, when there's hurt involved, is allowing the other person to have free rent in your head. Allow yourself to feel the real feelings of hurt without the need to be right. "Blessed are the meek, for they will do what? Inherit the earth." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful and thankful for these concise words. These words that offer us hope. These words that offer us a path to live by and to live on. Help us today to understand what it means to be the meek. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.